Morning, Second Service. It's great to see you guys here. It's great to be worshiping with you. Praise the Lord, huh? God is so good, isn't he? Well, keep Pastor and Dave in your prayers. Our pastor is out. He's not feeling well today. So please pray for him and his family that he heals quickly. Because I got the text again at about 25 to 45 minutes before service saying, "You're up." I said, "No, I'm down and out." No. God is so good, though. I asked him to pray for me, too, that I didn't have anything prepared. And he goes, "Well, use what you used for the marriage fellowship." Well, I didn't have anything prepared for that either. This is what you get. No. Well, we'll pray. We'll pray for our pastor, and then I'll pray, and I'll let you know what's going on here. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to share with your congregation, with the people that love you, Lord, and just being able to stand up here and by your strength. I thank you for taking over, and I can't do this on my own, so I'm asking that you would fill me afresh to give me what I need for this service. And I believe you've done that, Lord, just like you did for first service. Just ask that your spirit would fall afresh upon us, and anoint your word, be with our pastor, and Lord, just smite this illness that's within him right now, Lord. Keep his family safe. I pray that you would watch over them, watch over all our families. And for those who have not been able to come out today, Lord, and they're watching on live stream, that the Holy Spirit will fall afresh on them too. So anoint your word, bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but I know when I do something and I beat myself up about it, I bring myself down and down and down and down, and I feel like I'm not worthy for any use of the Lord, and I don't want to be there. You know, and I think in this passage, Psalms 25, if you would, turn to there. David is recognizing this too. I don't know about you guys, but have you done something in your life that you know that has caused you to suffer more than you should? Because God doesn't want you to suffer. He wants you to repent, turn from your ways, and confess your sin. And he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I have a hard time doing that sometimes. Sometimes I try to hide it from God. He formed me in the womb. Who am I hiding it from, really? You know, so if I send into hell, he's there. If I, you know, God, he promises. He never leaves us or forsakes us. At the end of what I'm going to teach on, I just want to show you afterwards how much God really loves us. And I hope you get that in this psalm here. But David is saying, unto you, O Lord, I do lift up my soul. He's saying, I'm not going to lift it to another. Where else am I going to go? I have to lift it to you, Lord. You're the only one that knows me. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none of them that wait on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. I believe David, and as myself, you know, let me back up here. The reason why this psalm came out so powerfully to me to give it to you guys is because the Lord was speaking to my heart and showing me my failures. Those who are married know when you make your wife upset, she doesn't have to say anything, and it bites at you. And you know you've done wrong. And it beats you up, and you have nothing but to go and ask for forgiveness. My wife is sitting right there. She knows. She just has to look at me like she is now. Please help. I'm in trouble. To you, Lord, I lift up my soul, please. Oh, my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. When you ever felt ashamed of something that you've done and you try to hide it, and it seems to permeate out of you like, I don't know, something that stinks in the garbage. You can't hide it. David is saying here, I lift up my soul to you. I don't want to be ashamed. I've made mistakes. I'm making mistakes. I've fallen short of the glory of God. I blow it all the time. But I don't want to be ashamed. You guys want to be ashamed? No. Aren't you so glad that we're not walking TVs where God shows everything that's inside of us? David doesn't want his God, our God, to expose his deeds. Expose it to me. And that's the whole thing here. David is recognizing who God is and who himself is, and his failures, his shortcomings of the glory of God. It says, yet let none who wait on thee be ashamed. That's all who trust in the Lord. Let them be ashamed to transgress without a cause, who sin without no reason at all, just because they want to. Show me thy ways. Now he's pleading with the Lord. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. As I was meditating on this, I reflected back on, the characters in the Bible and how we compare ourselves with the characters of the Bible, and how, wow, I wish I was like Peter, or was like Paul, but I don't think we recognized what it took for them to get where they were, for God to use them as powerfully as he did. And what I mean by that is the things that they had to go through, the trials and tribulations, the pains, the sorrows of your heart, because you know you've sinned against God. And you've allowed yourself to sink in and have a, for lack of better words, beating yourself up so much that you feel like you can't be used. I think David got to that point when he sinned with Bathsheba, and he was shamefaced. And then he killed Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. That's a terrible thought, isn't it? You ever sinned something, you ever done something so bad that you beat yourself up that you haven't let go of yet? I'm here to tell you, God is here with David as he is here with you. And he's saying, lift your soul up to me. Lift your being up to me. Everything about you. Deuteronomy says that one of the commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. Everything, your whole being. He wants us to recognize that. I believe David was meditating on this as he was recognizing his sin and remembering who God is. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in the truth, verse 5, and teach me, as I was saying earlier, to get to this place, to ask God to teach you. You're going to go through things. We're going to go through things. And we're going to beat ourselves up because we fell. We fall short of the glory of God. But God didn't leave David. He was always able to call upon him, as we are always able to call upon Jesus. Lead me in your truths. Teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day. You're the God of my salvation. Who else has promised salvation to us? Who else will keep our souls? Who else will secure us? We'll see later on, a covenant is considered a sealed deal. God has sealed us until the day of redemption. Amen. He'll do the work in us. But when we try to do the work ourselves and please God by what we do, it doesn't work because we fail. And when we fail, we get miserable sometimes. We can turn to other things. Turn to drugs, alcohol. Anything that's outside of God's will, we can turn to because it pleases the flesh. But the flesh is never satisfied. We have to trust in God. So lead me in your truth. Teach me. Verse 6, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness. Now, as we all do, we plead with God to remember his goodness towards us. You know? And then David is doing that here, remembering because of your loving kindness. God loves us so much that there's nothing we could do that he would block his love from us, that would take his love from us. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing. He proved that on the cross. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we came to know him, he still died for us. Each and every one of us, those in the past, those are now, and those who are in the future. Remember, because of your mercies and your loving kindness, for they have been from ever old. God is the same yesterday and today forevermore. He never changes. It's forever. It's eternity. Remember not, now he's asking the Lord, remember not my sins. Remember, O Lord, not my sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy mercies, remember thou me for your goodness sake, O Lord. Not my goodness sake. When I think I'm good, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. But for your goodness sake, for your name's sake, remember your tender mercies so that I can keep going. Good and upright, now he's proclaiming who God is. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he will teach sinners in his way, in the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. And that's God's way, through Jesus. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. This is where we truly, truly, we wake to his mercies every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He's seen us through the night. He's watched over us. We need to recognize. I think David here was just recognizing now even more in depth of who God is to him. I don't know what you guys are going through, what you've done, what you think is the worst sin that has ever any person has ever done. You think you're the worst of all. God's still there. When he makes a promise, he keeps it, and it's true. He'll never leave us or forsake us. When you feel that conviction, that's him telling you to get back on the right path, not to beat you down. You already done that yourself. I do it. I do it all the time. I was beating myself up in the office. You really messed up first service. But God was reminding me, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. You call upon me. You call upon me. And I'll make my ways known to you. I'll set my path before you. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such that keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, in verse 11, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. This is where I was camping out at a little bit. And in verse 16, my iniquity is great. The things that I know is wrong and I still do it, I catch my flesh overriding my spirit, and I get caught up in it. And it could be through thought, it could be through action, it could be through word. It's great, it's great, it's a great iniquity. And in myself, I'm shamed. But God has convicted me. This is a prime example of David, God not leaving David's side. He's convicting David. David recognizes that his sin is great. And he's confessing it. What man is he that fears the Lord? There's a question there. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. God has promised us, if we teach our children in the way that they should go, when they grow old, they shall not depart from it. And some of us have wayward children right now. But doesn't it keep you more reliant on the Lord? It does to me. I got one son that's serving and two that are wayward. And that keeps me on my knees. But he promises that we shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. And that is not this earth, the new earth. The new heaven and the new earth. Because this earth is sinful. I wouldn't want to inherit it. Yet we're here. And we're not to neglect it. But I don't want to inherit it. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he shall show them his covenant. The sealed deal. He shall show them. When we're convicted, that's God speaking to our hearts. He'll also show us his love. When we're truly his. You know, back in the old days, is when they buried or they put Jesus in the tomb and rolled the stone in front of it, they sealed it. The king or the governor would seal it with a signet ring. It was a sealed deal. It could not be broken. And in the book of Revelations, there's God the Father sitting on the throne, hands Jesus the scroll that has seven seals. Only he has the power to break those seals. This is a sealed deal. We're sealed till the day of redemption. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you feel that you've let God down, you haven't let him down. He yearns for you. He aches for you. He's waiting. He's waiting for you to just be broken before him so that he can do what he needs to do in you to make you stronger. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. He wants to put you back on the path of righteousness. He wants to put you on the path that he has set before you to walk in so that you glorify him. And the Lord was telling me earlier, get over yourself. Get over yourself. Stop being so stuck on yourself. Take your eyes off the mirror and the sense of looking at yourself and condemning yourself, because I don't condemn you, and put them back on me. Look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And he says that his ways are not our ways, saith the Lord. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. But I've been purposing in my heart, well, back up here, the more I know, the less I know, honestly. But I've been purposing in my heart to work God's way, to know him more. I don't need to know anything else. I really don't. I have been to a place in my life of studying and studying and studying and studying. And I knew a lot of things. And the more I knew, the more I beat myself up because I didn't feel like I knew enough. And that became my God. instead of looking to Jesus. Instead of looking at his grace and his love for me, I was going around it and avoiding it in the sense that I was so caught up in trying to study. And when I recognized it, I asked, that was a great sin. Because growing up, I was very illiterate and I didn't understand anything I read. But when I started understanding the Bible and the Word, that just drove me more to learn more. But it was for that purpose, to learn more. And then enough to maybe come and teach somebody else. And I'm saying, oh, that's crazy, because now I'm standing up before you not knowing anything. Only Jesus. Because I recognize in my iniquity and my sin, he's still there. And he's there for you too. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant, a sealed deal. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. I won't be tangled and entangled and snared in what I've done before, my sins. You know, those of you who are struggling with trying to please the Lord and you find yourself going deeper and deeper back into your sin, take your eyes off the Lord. Because there's a net ready to snare you that the enemy of your soul is trying to throw out before you. And if he can get you tangled up in it again, you're going to sink. Let the convictions of the Lord direct you back on the path of righteousness and stay off the path of destruction. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. David is saying, I'm suffering. I know I've caused this hurt and pain on myself. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like you've caused hurt and pain on yourself? David is saying, turn to me. I need you more than ever before. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distress. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to ball up and allow my iniquity and my sin to boil in me. Isn't it funny how you see a child that, I'll use a cookie jar or a piece of chocolate actually, and you've told them not to eat it, but yet they come and they got it all over their face. And did you eat that chocolate? No. No. Well, the evidence is there. Instead of just confessing and saying, yes, I did, it's less of hurt and pain that you have to go through. And I think that that's where David is recognizing, I turn to me, Lord. I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to turn to things that cause me to take my eyes off of you. I don't want to turn to drugs. I don't want to turn to alcohol. I don't want to turn to the things that please my flesh, which is a bandage. And then when the bandage is ripped off, it hurts. It's exposed. It's still there. The pain, the sore is still there. It's not taken away. Look upon my afflictions and my pain and forgive me all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. And then he says, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on you. Integrity, the word is translated completeness, fullness of the Lord. Let his fullness and uprightness hold me. preserve me through this life. I know I'm going to fail. But God, I can turn to you because I know you'll preserve me. He who started a work will be faithful and just to finish it. He who started this in you, in me, he will complete it. Let him have his way. Let him have the reins of your heart. Don't beat yourselves up. We can be our own worst enemy. I know at least I am my worst enemy. Nobody else has to do the work. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Let me read. David recognized this in Psalms 32, if you want to turn there. I'm just going to read through it. I pray that you listen to what David is saying here. Because the Lord just gave this to me in my office as I was searching him to give me something good for you guys. I hope this blesses you. Psalms 32, it says in verse 1, blessed is he or she whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man or woman unto whom the Lord impute not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. He kept his sin in him. He beat himself up instead of confessing it. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture had turned into drought of the summer. Well, I'll tell you, many times I laid in bed and could not sleep because of my sin. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. And my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. He says, meditate on that. See, he confessed it. And that quickly he felt a relief. That's what God wants to do to anybody here that feels the way that I did with my sin. If we confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, if we confess it. Verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in the time when thou mayest be found. Surely the floods of water, great water, they shall not come nigh unto thee. Thou art my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Songs of deliverance. Reminding when we were in worship, the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart, I have delivered you. Jesus has delivered you. And I've never known a love like his. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as a horse or a mule. Don't be stubborn. Let him have his way, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. My sorrow shall be to the wicked. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him or her about. Them are the promises of God. That simple. When we confess, he's waiting there. He's waiting there to forgive us. Don't beat yourself up. Recognize. You know, the word meditate means to remind yourself, speak to yourself. And the only way that we're going to remind ourselves of who God is and how his love is for us to really experience that is being his word. The Holy Spirit of God wants to work in our lives, and it's through the word of God. Because the more of the word, the less of us. But when we do fail, don't beat yourself up. Let us not beat ourselves up. Let us confess. It's so much quicker. One more scripture. In Isaiah 43. He's talking about the floods, the rivers, the waters coming, but they're not going to overflow you. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created you. And he says, O Jacob, put your name there. And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. You are mine. Nobody else's. David said, I will not lift my soul to another. I'm lifting my soul to you, O Lord. When thou pass through the waters, I will be with you, and never leave you or forsake you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. I gave everything. Since you was precious in my sight, this is a key verse, verse 4. Since you are precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. David probably didn't feel honorable at that time. He felt ashamed, but he didn't want the Lord to remember or make him ashamed. He asked to forgive him. Remember not my sin or my iniquity, the sin of my youth, the things that I have done in my past because I didn't apply wisdom to my life. And I have loved you since you were precious in my sight. You have been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring your seed from the east and gather from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. That was one of the promises that the Lord showed me too. If I train my children up in the way they go, they shall not depart when they grow old. And I bank on those promises of God. But he says, I will get your sons and daughters from the ends of the earth. I will bring them. I will draw them back. Prayer is a good thing. And then we shall inherit the earth, the new heaven and new earth. But God said, I want to read verse 4 again. Since thou was precious in my sight, God sees you precious. So don't beat yourself up. Don't walk out of here with your head hanging down that God can't forgive you of what you've done. Recognize and remember. Remember who God is. Remember what he's done for you. Always look back to the cross because that there's power in the cross. He has redeemed you. Pastor Daniel and the worship team can come forward. I just want to remind you guys, look, I'm a man just as anybody else. I'm a human. I fall short of the glory of God. I've sat in my home when no one else was there, beating myself up because of my sin and my iniquity. But God was always faithful to show up during that time. He was so faithful. He cannot deny himself. He showed up and he spoke to my heart. Because even in my sin and in my iniquity, he forced me in the sense of having an urge to get back into his word to reveal himself to me through his Holy Spirit. And he'll do the same for you. Please, guys, if you didn't get anything else out of this, get this. Be in the Word of God. Let God's heart become your heart. And he'll change it. He'll form it. He'll put you on a path that you never thought possible. And he'll give you joy in the midst of your trials. He's the lifter of our head. Though we fall 7 times, God is there. He'll lift you back up. And we can set our eyes back on Jesus. Keep them there. I pray the Lord bless you guys abundantly today, no matter where you're at. Let him wash his blood over you and make you white as snow. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. I thank you for second service, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you placed men in the past and even today, Lord, that have gone through and are going through things that reveal your glory and honor because they always seem to turn back to you. Thank you for those examples. Help us to be those examples, Lord. Help us not to beat ourselves up to where we get into depression and try to comfort ourselves with other things and then coming to the conclusion that we are worse off than what we were before. Jesus, help us, protect us from that. Deliver us. Let us not run away from our problems, but let us run to you and confess and know that you're there with a Father with open arms, willing to hold us, to caress us, and to forgive us, and wash us, and set us back on our path, Lord, the path that you've set before us. So have your way today, Lord, in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.